Great to see all of you here this morning. For the past several Sundays, at least 7 weeks that I know of, we've been looking at some things that Solomon wants to teach us if we are to live successful lives and do the things that God would have us to do. This morning, we come to the last of our series in the book of Solomon, and I'll begin a new series next week that will go several weeks on forgiveness, the importance of forgiving and the importance of forgiveness. And then after that, I'll begin a series in the book of Ecclesiastes, also by Solomon. But this morning, Solomon would say to each one of us, keep your cool. Keep your cool. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29, Solomon says, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. Well, I don't know about you, but if you pick up the newspaper or you keep up with things that are happening in the world, if you listen to various news stations, you will notice that people seem out of control in our day and time. Have you ever noticed that it seems like that anger is at an all-time high? I mean, everywhere that you look, you know, I shared with someone this past week, well, the Bible says that in the last days that lawlessness is going to abound. That's what the Bible says. And we see this growing intensity of people becoming angry, or they're becoming angrier and angrier every time we seem to pick up the newspaper or turn on the news. For example, maybe it's an employee who is opening fire on some innocent coworkers because of some kind of unfair termination. Maybe it's an angry parent who assaults the son's soccer coach out there. Maybe it is a driver that beats up someone else because they cut them off from their exit. Maybe it's a mother that drowned her infant daughter because she was irritated by the incessant crying of the child. And the list goes on infinitum. In fact, last evening on television, they were showing several clips about people that are angry and things that they were doing in various places throughout the world and the United States. Well, anger is difficult to handle. Even the experts allege that. Solomon says that we need to learn to keep our cool. We need to learn to keep our anger in check. We need to learn to keep our composure. You see, his wisdom and his advice to you and me this morning is for us to keep our tempers in check. He would say that's as vital to successful living life as containing your lust and controlling your speech. In fact, notice, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29, Solomon says, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. And then in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, he says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 16, verse 32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. Solomon would say in Proverbs chapter 19, in verse 11, he would say, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. And then in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 8, Solomon says, scorners set a city aflame, but wise men turn away anger. Now, Solomon says that if you're going to be a wise person, and if you have the intent of living life successfully, then Solomon says, turn away from your anger. There was a recent survey that was taken by USA Today, and it revealed that three-fourths of Americans believe that anger behavior has increased in places such as airports and out there on the highways. In fact, flight attendants and pilots report a dramatic increase in violent behavior out there as they're flying among the passengers. In 1997, there were 66 incidents of air rage. But 2 years later, in 1999, that air rage was up to 534 incidents. James Garbarian, who's a human development professor at Cornell University, believes that there has been a major shift in society's attitude toward anger. You see, there is a general breakdown of social conventions and of manners and of social controls. This gives validation. This gives a permission to be aggressive. And kids that used to be guided by a social convention that would say, keep your lid on, now live in a world today where we're guided in more of the direction of taking your lid off. And so the question begs, why do we get so angry over major as well as minor wrongs? The question, what is the best way to deal with anger issues? The question, how should you handle anger when it's directed toward you? You see, Solomon wants to give some practical ways to diffuse this common but explosive emotion. So, what is anger? How would we define anger? Anger is defined, it's a natural physical and emotional reaction to perceived injustice. You see, it's an emotional reaction, a physical emotional reaction that is perceived to be an injustice. Well, there are three components of that definition. Number one, anger is natural. It's an emotion. It arises whenever we encounter something that we perceive to be an injustice or a wrong. Secondly, anger is a matter of perception. Although it's real, it's not always justified, because sometimes our anger is based on wrong information, incomplete information. Other times our anger is based maybe on accurate information. Sometimes our anger is based upon inaccurate information. But there's a third component to the definition of anger, and that is that anger always will result in a response. So we could say, well, is anger wrong? Well, it depends on how we respond to the anger. Paul was writing to a church at a place called Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, Paul says, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. So, what is mine and your natural response when we get upset, when we get angry, and we have this physical emotion where we have perceived that there's been an injustice of wrong? Well, Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, and in Colossians 3:8, he said, but now you also put them all aside. He said, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Well, I read an interesting excerpt the other day. I reminded, as I was studying and preparing for this today, there were two friends that were sitting at a restaurant. They were drinking coffee together. They were discussing the difference between being irritated and being angry and having rage. And so Bill, as he was sipping on his coffee, he said to his friend, well, it's 1 o'clock a.m. in the morning. I'll show you an example of what it means to be irritated. And so he went to the payphone. He put in some money. He dialed a number at random. And when the sleepy voice on the other end of the line answered the phone, Bill said, may I speak to Jones? And there on the other end of the line, an angry voice said, Jones doesn't live here. There's no one here by that name. So the disgruntled man hung up the phone, and Bill looked over at his friend as they sipped their coffee, and he said, "That's irritation." An hour went by. Bill looked at his friend and said, "Now I'm going to show you what anger is." It's 2 a.m. in the morning. He goes back over to the phone. He drops in some money. He dials the same number. And the voice answered once again. Bill said, "May I please speak with Jones?" And the man, this time, he was louder in his response. He was much more frustrated and irritated. And once again, he said, "There's no one here by the name of Jones." And he slammed the phone down on the receiver. And Bill looked over at his friend drinking coffee. He said, "Now that is anger." They go on, sip their coffee. Now it's 3 o'clock a.m. in the morning. Bill says, "Now I want to show you what rage is." He goes to the phone, he drops in some money, he dials the same number, and all of a sudden, this sleepy man once again answers the phone, and Bill says, "Hi, this is Jones. Have I had any calls tonight?" Well, irritation, anger, wrath, rage. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 17, Solomon said, "A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated." Now, I'm sure that each one of us here this morning could recount some incident that we've had where we seized upon the moment and we lost control of our emotions and we became angry and we made statements, we rendered some decision, we fired off an email to someone or a letter or a text, or we posted something on Instagram or on Facebook and then later regretted what we did. There was a Barna research group that revealed that more than half of Americans recall a time when their anger adversely impacted someone or something they highly valued, such as a job relationship. You see, wrath is rage, and malice is your desire or my desire. It's a desire to see that another person suffers through our actions or through our speech. That's what malice is. But you see, anger suppressed is just as dangerous as anger expressed. Suppressed anger damages the container in which it's contained. Anger that we internalize can be just as destructive as the anger that we vent. Solomon warns us in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 33. Solomon would say, "For the churning of milk produces butter, and pressing the nose brings forth blood. So the churning of anger produces strife." He goes on to say in Proverbs 27, verse 4, "Wrath is fierce and anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy?" You see, simply trying to bury your anger without dealing with your anger constructively will lead to this internal churning that Solomon describes there. And eventually, this churning results in this uncontrollable flood of wrath. And so, what would Solomon say to you and me this morning? How we should handle anger, how we feel toward others. Well, since Solomon is such a successful counselor this morning, let me give you five things that Solomon would say for us to do. First of all, Solomon would say, call an emotional timeout. Call an emotional timeout. In Proverbs 14, verse 29, once again in our text for today, "He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly." And then Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, Solomon says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city." And then Solomon would tell us in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11, "A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it's his glory to overlook a transgression." You see, sometimes the only way you and I can prevent a nuclear explosion of rage is to physically remove ourselves from the detonator. And that is the source of whatever your frustration is. So Solomon would say, one way to deal with your anger is call an emotional timeout. Secondly, Solomon would say, analyze the cause of your anger. Analyze the cause of your anger. You see, the purpose of an emotional timeout, it's not so much to avoid your anger, but it's to give you time and to give you space that's necessary to look at the anger and to analyze it. And then during that time, you need to ask these two questions. Number one, what is the source of my anger? Remember what anger is. It's a physical emotion where we perceived that there's been an injustice or a wrong. So what is the source of my anger? Are you angry because the other person has violated one of your rights? Are you angry because he or she has wronged another person and you see that great injustice and you're not pleased with what you have witnessed? Or are you disturbed because someone has failed to fulfill a responsibility to you? You see, the only way to rationalize and analyze the source of your anger is to temporarily remove yourself from the heat of the battle. Well, not only do you need to analyze it, but you need to have correct information. You see, keep in mind that that anger is based upon this perceived injustice. So sometimes when you analyze your anger, you begin to investigate and you realize that you've had totally incomplete information. You've not had all of the facts. And so you have just assumed this. Solomon would say in Proverbs 18, verse 13, he who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. I mean, that's jumping to conclusions. So Solomon would say, before you lash out, before you get angry about whatever this injustice is that you've perceived as wrong, make sure that you have all of the correct information. Thirdly, this morning, on this anger management strategy that our counselor Solomon would give us, he would say, first of all, when you're dealing with anger, call an emotional timeout. Secondly, he would say, analyze the cause of your anger and be sure that you have all of the correct information. And then thirdly, this morning, he would say, overlook minor offenses. Overlook minor offenses. Let me tell you, when there are major disasters out there, such as a bombing or an airplane crash or tornadoes or tsunamis or whatever it may be, there are medical professionals who set up a triage place to try to help those that have the worst injuries. A severed arm is much more important to treat at that particular moment than a broken arm. And so Solomon would say to you and me, look at the injury that you have. Look at whatever it is that's created your problem. Is it a minor incident that will eventually heal over time? Let me tell you, every day you and I in our lives, we sustain minor injuries from such things as, well, I called you, but you didn't return my call. Any of y'all ever been guilty of not returning somebody's call? Well, it was my birthday, and you didn't send me a birthday card. You know, I send 1,500 and something birthday cards every year to every member of this church. If you didn't get it, it got lost. Pony Express didn't get it to you because I wrote one. I'm always amazed and amused when I get a phone call from some little old lady. It was my birthday. I didn't get your card. I said, honey, it's on the way. If it hadn't already been mailed, it will be mailed before the day's over. Well, you know, there's some things that are just minor skirmishes that you and I just need to blow off. We just need to get over. There are just some of those things that we need to just forget about. They're just little scrapes and they're little bruises. Solomon would say in Proverbs 19, verse 11, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. Comedian Buddy Hackett said of grudges, he said, I've had my share of disagreements in life, but I've learned never to carry a grudge because while I'm carrying the grudge, the other person is out there doing the dancing. I want you to think about that. You see, overlooking injustices help us more than they help our offender. But then sometimes there are some things that you and I can't overlook. So that brings me to what Solomon would say about anger management. Number four, learn to forgive major offenses. Forgiveness. Maybe your anger is the result of a painful divorce and you cannot get beyond it. You cannot get over it. Maybe your anger is the result of an abusive childhood. As one young person said to me, not in the far too distant past, well, eventually you've got to get over it. Well, that's true. Sometimes they're hard to get over. Maybe your anger is due to an undeserved termination. You see, there are some real things that happen to us in life. But let me tell you, fortunately, God has given you and me a surgical procedure to heal these major wounds in our life, and it's called forgiveness. Forgiveness. You see, true forgiveness admits that you've been wronged. True forgiveness admits you've been wronged. Well, Joseph was wronged in the Bible. He didn't sweep it under the rug. Let me tell you, when you go to the book of Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph just encountered his brothers and said, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Let me tell you, he didn't say, well, let's let bygones be bygones. He dealt with it openly. He dealt with it honestly. True forgiveness acknowledges your offender's obligation to you. Yes, that person is indebted to you, and they owe you some form of restitution. But you see, when someone forgives, you have to ask yourself the question, did I do anything to provoke this? Did I cause any reason for this to happen? You see, true forgiveness releases your offender from the obligation to you. The greatest argument, I believe, for unconditional forgiveness is found when Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4:32, and he said, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Let me tell you, Lewis Smead says, when we forgive, we set the prisoner free, and we discover that the prisoner we set free is us. Let me tell you, true forgiveness confronts the offender if necessary. You see, sometimes we just need to work through the major skirmishes in our lives. In fact, this is the way Jesus would put it in Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Jesus said, and whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father, who is in heaven, will also forgive you your transgressions. So, Solomon, the mighty man of wisdom, the counselor through the ages, would say with anger management, first of all, call an emotional timeout. Secondly, analyze the cause of your anger. Thirdly, overlook minor offenses. Fourthly, overcome, learn to forgive major offenses. And lastly, Solomon would say to us about anger management, don't associate with angry people. I read the other day, I love this. In his autobiography, number one, the late baseball manager, Billy Martin, described in that book about a hunting trip that he and Mickey Mantle took together. Mickey Mantle and Billy Martin were great friends, and Mickey Mantle had a great place to hunt. One of his friends would allow him to come out to his ranch and hunt. And so one day Mickey Mantle took his friend Billy Martin, and they were going out to hunt on this ranch. And when they arrived at the ranch, Mickey said to Billy, "Just sit here in the car. I'll run in and make sure everything's okay, that we can go out and hunt." And so Billy sat in the car, and Mickey went in. And of course, his friend, being the gracious person that he was, told Mickey, said, "Yeah, it's fine for you guys to hunt. But," he said, "there is one thing, Mickey, I need you to do for me." He said, "I've got an old mule that I've had for a long time, and it's going blind, and I need to put it down. But I just don't have the heart to go out and shoot it. So would you go out and shoot that mule for me?" Mickey said, "Yeah, I'll do it for you." Mickey went out, got in the car. He acted like he was furious. He acted like he was angry at his friend. And Billy Martin said, "What's the matter?" He said, "We couldn't hunt today." He said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go shoot one of his mules out there at the barn." And they took off in a rage, and dirt flying everywhere. And all of a sudden, Billy said, "Oh, Mickey, we can't do that. This is crazy. This is absolutely maniacal. We can't go out there and do that." And Mickey Mantle looked at Billy Martin and said, "You just watch me." About that time, he pulled up, and there was that old mule. He grabbed his shotgun. He shot that thing between the eyes, and he started to turn around. When he did, he heard two more shots go off. And all of a sudden, he looked around, and Billy Martin had grabbed his shotgun, and he shot two cows. And and Billy Martin turned around to Mickey Mantle and said, "That son of a gun, we'll show him." Well, folks, let me tell you, sometimes you better not associate with angry people, because when you do, they can lead you down the primrose path that'll get you in trouble. Well, let me land this plane this morning. How do you and I, what do we do to deflect this anger that we have? Number one, listen carefully. Gary Chapman, in his book, suggests 7 different steps when you're dealing with angry people. He said, number one, listen. Number two, listen. Number three, listen. Let me tell you, Solomon mirrors that. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27. "He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." Let me tell you, when somebody's angry, listen calmly, because it will diffuse, usually, the adversary's anger. And it will also give you time to collect your own thoughts. And it will also give you an opportunity to collect important information. Listen carefully. Number two, to deflect anger, try to identify with that other person's anger that they're going through. Solomon said in Proverbs 10, verse 12, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions." You see, learn to identify what is it that they're angry about. And then, thirdly on that, answer softly and slowly. Answer softly and slowly. In Proverbs 15:1, Solomon would say, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." And then what else would we do to deflect this anger? Not only do we need to listen, but we need to identify the other person's anger. And thirdly, we need to answer softly and slowly. And fourthly, ask forgiveness if you've done something that needs to be forgiven. In Proverbs 28:13, Solomon said, "He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion." Let me tell you, Solomon would say, if you want the secrets of living life successfully, in dealing with anger management issues, then do these things. He said in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9, do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools. Now, before you and I leave today, the devil's already baited somebody out there to cut you off. He's already got somebody that's going to get ahead of the line out at Wright's. They're going to get their food before you get yours. I'm heading to Oklahoma City to the hospital in a few minutes, and I'm sure somebody will cut me off as they do every time I go. So I'm already warning you, get ready, because the devil has the bait, and he's going to use anger somewhere today with you to try to get you off course. And so Solomon would say, keep your cool. Would you stand as we pray together? Father God, we come to you right now thanking you once again for a great day. Thank you, God, for the lessons that we can learn from your word that can help us along the path of life if we choose to make the choice to obey what you would tell us here. I pray, oh God, that you would help us to be challenged in our studies from week to week, that we can grow in our spiritual lives, that we can grow in our Christian walk with you, so that it might mirror a reflection of Jesus and draw others to a saving knowledge of you. Father God, if there's someone here this morning or somebody listening through one of our internet stations, I pray, oh God, you would speak to their heart this day and help us, oh God, to keep our cool and to control our anger. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you need to come this morning.